This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It's 4 minutes past seven. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're joined tonight by Dylan Caitlin. How are you, babe?
Hi, good. How are you?
Oh, I'm dramatically amazing. Oh. Electric.
That's a very dramatic thing to say. Dil, I've got to say, I feel really naked without Vic. I know We've only co-hosted as a trio once together, but there's just something...
I miss my Vic star.
Yeah.
She just makes me laugh. I don't know. She doesn't even have to do anything. She just has to, like, pull a face, and I'm just like, ah, Vic, I love you.
She's got that sort of razor blunt presence about her. It's just that no... I can't say it on air, but no BS.
Yeah, no BS involved with Vic. That is one certified fact.
But tonight we're interviewing a very interesting young talent.
Yeah. We've got Scott Darlow, who is a singer-songwriter, didgeridoo playing man, and he's coming onto the show to talk about his music and just some projects that he's doing.
He released a new single. Is it called Solid Rock?
Solid Rock. We'll be playing that a little bit later on.
Love it is solid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Anyway, that sounds very exciting. I was mistaken. He's not the man out there on the desk, is he?
No. That's Brian Andy from APLAC, which is another Indigenous organisation for GLBTI Indigenous.
Hence the connection. I made that joyful connection in the kitchen. I didn't want to go up to him and say, hi, are you on our show tonight? Because I should be able to put a face to a name, but I've never met Scott before, but we're really looking forward to having him on the show.
Yeah. It should be a pretty cool promo. And we'll be talking about a new upcoming program on Bent TV. I believe Andy from Bent TV did come onto the Drive show before, and he was just talking about promoing the show. It's called Queer Young Thing, and it's all for GLBTI youth, talking about like mental health and living out in the country, and also touching on substance abuse in GLBTI youth as well. So it's going to be pretty in-depth.
And you're the anchor, you said.
Yeah, I'll be anchoring that. So it's going to be pretty fun.
That's a massive opportunity. And I think, Dil, with all of the stuff that we talk about each week in the show, you'll have so much material to bring to them, especially with our interview last week with the author of the book based on GLBTI suicide.
Yeah, Dr. Rob Cover, that indeed. Yeah, I think that this is definitely a great stepping stone, it's pretty good. Hey, if anyone wants to join in on tonight's conversations or have a chat about anything, feel free to hit us up on 0427 569 949. You can tweet at us with the @GNJoy949 handle, or call front desk on 1300JOY949, or shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au, because we've got
so many options.
Woo. Oh my god. Because we'd like to hear from you. We love hearing from our Joy94.9 listeners about how they're going and shiz.
Just engage into the discussion. Give us your opinion. Good, bad, ugly, lovely.
Yeah, absolutely.
We embrace it all here at Joy.
And we're going to be talking as well a little about things that we've regret, things that we've done that we may have had a bit of like, oh my God, hindsight. Why did you come that moment too late?
Is that a play on words there, Dil?
Oh, hindsight. Are you referring to something?
Yeah. There was a key word in that sentence, but anyway.
So text in anything that you've had some, you wish that you had that hindsight before the action. 0427 569 949, because we'd like to know and discuss what we may have done that we could have done without.
Is there something, Dil? Are you going to keep the listeners in suspense, or will you share?
I think I may just share, just because, you know, I'm like an open book. I love telling people.
We love reading your pages. Oh, yeah. I love turning those pages.
So on the weekend, I did the Power Man at Circuit Bar, which was fun.
Can you explain, for a girl that doesn't obviously go to places like that, what is that and what was that?
So Power Man, it was a event for gladiator thing. Themed and men versus gay, men. Gay gladiators.
Oh, was there like a Vulcan there? I remember from the 90s.
Oh, I had a mohawk.
All right. Does so that's close count? Enough. Yeah. Have to Google that.
I was wearing not a lot.
They wear the little spandex sort of bathers, but with the short things. And then sort of like the straps glowing on the chest where you can see the hair, sort of like.
Yeah, that you right, can yeah. see a lot.
God. So, was everyone in the venue dressed like a gladiator?
No, just the combatants. And I definitely am not wearing a lot. There are some photos out there. I'm not going to tell you where.
Oh,
you
God.
Can do your own research.
There's
to
visual
find
evidence
them.
Of you there.
And I just, like, it was such a fun event. I had so much fun doing it. And then looking at this page, Chris Jamison came up to me and was like, oh, Dylan, I loved your jocks. And I was like, thinking that I had, you know, I was showing a bit of crack.
Yeah.
No.
He'd spotted the photos in the weekend.
Apparently he had seen the photo.
That's And for those of you who don't know, that's the director of music here at Joy. He's kind of like our big boss, one under Conrad, who's the CEO. that's all. Dill's head is on the desk now in absolute embarrassment.
I went bright red when Chris came up to me because I had that like light bulb moment, like ping. And I was like, oh my God, that actually happened. Yeah. And I just had that moment where I was like, oh, Dylan.
What were you thinking?
It's more like, what was I not thinking? That was a problem, my dear sweet Caitlin. But hey, I'd like to know what you've done that you may have just not wanted to do, or maybe have, it would have altered or doctored if you could go back in time.
Did you send that text to someone you weren't meant to? And was it visual? And was it to your boss, maybe? I mean, the story can go on and on and on. Text it 0427 joy 949, or email to Dylan Caitlin on air at joy.org.au and share in the pain, share in Dill's pain.
Hey, we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
It's 14 minutes past 7. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're joined tonight by Dill and Caitlin. And our next guest is Scott Darlow, who is a singer, songwriter, guitarist, and didgeridoo playing man from the Yorta Yorta country. And who has just announced the release of a new album, Darlow, for July 12th during NAIDOC Week, featuring the new single Solid Rock, which is a duet cover of Goanna Classic performed and recorded with the song's original singer and writer. Darlow will be celebrating the releases with a run of 20 shows around Victoria, South Australia, Hong Kong, Hawaii through June, July and August. It's a great pleasure to welcome you to the show, Scott. How are you?
Mate, I'm fantastic. Thanks so much for having me.
Not a problem. Look, I feel quite privileged to have you on the show. Now, look, there's just one thing that I saw. You play 200 shows every year. Like, how does that impact your personal life, man?
Mate, it's different. I mean, but you know, a lot of those 200 shows, I'm playing in high schools, you know, three or four times a week. So, like, 9 to 5, when I should probably be out doing a regular job, I'm going to school, you know, and singing there. So, it's actually pretty cool. But, you know, I've got a really amazing wife, and she actually comes out the road with me, dude. So, like, I just did a tour. I got home a couple of weeks back, and we toured. We played shows in Singapore, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Beijing, San Diego, L.A., Northern California, and she came and brought the three kids, and man, she's awesome.
Wow, how many stamps do you have on your visa?
I tell you, my passport is actually nearly running out. I had to get a visa for China, and they grilled me over the fact that I've got like not many pages left.
So. Oh wow, Scott, where was your favourite place? Where do you think the audience was most receptive to you?
Oh look, I'd like to say the Pines in Franks. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, look, you know, I think. Yeah, Asia's really good. I go to Asia a lot, and those guys dig it. They love music. It doesn't matter if they can't understand the words, they still dig it. And I play didgeridoo as well, and so they really dig that as well. But you know, Americans love. I think people are people. It doesn't matter where you go. People, you know, people are great, and they just they love music.
And the kids, when you go into the school, Scott, what do you find is sort of a consistent, I guess, what you pick up from the children, the questions that they ask you, or how many are interested to pursue a career in music? What do you find sort of a consistent thing?
Oh, look, yeah, a lot of those things. I mean, when I go to high school, it's a really unique opportunity I have because I'm actually an ex-high school teacher. I did it for a couple of years and then sort of music kind of got too busy. But what I do now is I'll go on and sing and play music, but then I'll speak about Aboriginal culture, reconciliation. I'm a spokesman for World Vision, who are an amazing NGO, and I talk about their work in Indigenous communities. And really, I kind of see music as this vehicle that allows me to educate and inspire teenagers around Australia about current Indigenous crisis and also Australian history, and to be really passionate and proud about our Aboriginal history that we have. And so, you know, the questions that I have, they might range from kids who want to know more about, you know, Indigenous stories or history or country, right through to, hey, how do I do what you do? How do I become a full-time musician? You know, so it's good. It's really, it's great to be able to connect with people and hopefully, you know, share a little bit with them that's a benefit for them.
Absolutely. Now, with one thing that you've talked about is that you're very passionate about reconciliation and Indigenous rights in Australia. Now, how do you think we've travelled over the past 10 years? I mean, do you think there's been much momentum in, I guess, garnering respect for Indigenous Australians in Australia?
Look, I think there has, but I think, you know, look, one of the things that really saddened me, but it was really good to see also, was, you know, the recent whole Eddie Maguire, Adam Goods saga.
Right.
You know, what that thing did was it allowed a lot of people, I think there's still a lot of people in this country who sit back going, you know what, those Aboriginal people complain and they've had it all their way and they get given money and blah, 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 and they're just uneducated. They don't mean to be rednecks, I want to say, but when an incident like that, you know, what I noticed was a lot of people calling talk back going, well, you know, Adam Goodman needs to toughen up, or, you know, and so there still is a lot of work to do, and it just comes back to education, you know. It comes back to being able to show people, you know, our country's history and remind them that it wasn't until 1967 that Aboriginal people in this country were actually considered and treated as human beings, you know. Up until 1967, the Constitution dictated that we were flora and fauna. You know, we weren't allowed to vote in an election. Aboriginal people who had served in World War II would turn up at the RSL and be turned away. They weren't allowed to have a beer with the men that they fought alongside of because they were black.
Wow, I did not know that. That's absolutely disgusting.
So essentially, yeah, you weren't even regarded as citizens.
No, we weren't citizens. And what's amazing about that is, you know, I often talk to kids in our high schools around Australia today, and one of the questions I do, I do a whole thing, but one of the things I say to them is, how many of you guys can name, I'll give a free CD, well, I actually don't sell CDs, I sell my music on USB flash drives, and I say, I'll give you a free flash drive of my latest record if you can name three famous Aboriginal people, but they can't be famous for sport, music, art, or TV and movies, because those are four naturally talented artistic endeavours. Somebody who's had success in society, giving them an opportunity, particularly educationally. So authors, politicians, business people, like that. In 10 years of doing, or 9 years of doing it, I've spoken to about 50,000 people a year, 500,000 people, I've given away 14 CDs. And it's not because people are dumb, it's because we've got a whole race of people that, you know, to be honest with you guys, up until the early 1980s, school principals of government schools in this country, if they felt like it, could just turn around and say, well, we don't have Aboriginal kids at our school. You know,
wow.
At the moment in Australia, the percentage of Aboriginal people who finish year 12 compared to the broader population is just outrageous.
Do you, Scott, when you go to these schools, regional versus metro, do you see a difference in mentality, attitudes and education? Towards,
you know,
Aboriginal issues?
No, not really. I think teenagers, the thing I love about going to school is teenagers, wherever you go, they're still in that place where they're still forming their mindset and their opinions. And, you know, I get emails from kids on Facebook and Twitter who'll come back to me a week later and go, you know, that stuff you taught us, we went home and told our parents and now we're having this dialogue and my mum and dad are thinking differently. And, you know, so that's the beautiful thing. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, I still, you know, 10 years later from high school, 15 years later from high school, whatever it is, I sit there remembering impacting moments from my school days, from people who really profoundly impacted me. And I think it's such an amazing, unique opportunity that I have to try and really get to people while they're not too jaded and cynical and set in their ways.
Absolutely. Now, you played just a unique and memorable moment for yourself, Scott. You played at the Rumbala Football Club out in Shepparton.
Rumbalara.
Sorry.
Get right, or my cousins will go off.
What was the significance of that show?
Well, Rumbalara Footy Club is a football club that is in Shepparton, which is where my mob are from. I'm from Yorta Yorta country. So if you know Victorian geography, Yorta Yorta country stretches from sort of like Shepparton all up around through, you know, Echuca and both sides of the river. And so in the 1800s, the Aboriginal people in that area, they were forced to live on a mission. And so the fellows at the Cumra Mission, they had a football team in the local league and they kept winning. So the league changed the rules and they said you could only play if you're a certain age, and then they kept winning. So they eventually just, in 1898, they kicked them out. And so for 100 years, we tried to get a team readmitted into an organised league. And finally, in 1997, the Golden Valley Footy League said, yep, you guys can come and play in our Division 2. So 100 years later to the year, 1998, we won the premiership. So I was a young fella, and I was blessed and fortunate to play in a premiership with my cousins, and yeah, and it was 100 years to the year since we'd been turfed out of the league, you know. So, I mean, I was young. I didn't appreciate it at the time, the history and the significance. But when the siren rang and we'd won the premiership, you know, all these elders are just in tears. And because you remember, for Aboriginal people, we weren't equal anywhere. We didn't have the right to vote, but we're one place we were equal was on the footy field, one place we could express ourselves and be equal. So, you know, football's a big thing for Indigenous people. So, you know, ever since then, the footy club, I've just felt, for me, a huge gratitude, and it's my heart, and I love getting up home. And so they had an 8 ball on Saturday night, and I was blessed enough. I got to sing at that, and Shawnee Chilbra, who's an amazing Indigenous comedian, he got up there and made everyone laugh.
Scott, moving forward, looking into, I guess, the future of the young Australians, in particular with education, do you have hope, and do you think that there is a bright future, and do you think we need to increase more education on the Aboriginal history, culture, and their future as Australian citizens?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. I think that today's, you know, school, well, the Australian curriculum, for example, has been changed so that the Indigenous education is a greater part of it. And we're certainly seeing more teenagers interested and passionate about Indigenous culture and reconciliation and closing the gap, you know, bringing that life expectancy. At the moment, Aboriginal men die 12 years younger than anyone else. We're bringing that gap in slowly, inch by inch. But yeah, I do see positive. But, you know, it's like Kevin Rudd, he got up and said sorry all those years ago. What we need to remember is that sorry is a verb, not just a thing that we say and everything gets better. You know, it's a verb that continually needs to be worked toward.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more on that. I think that there's definitely a long road still ahead for Australia to reconcile with the Indigenous of Australia. And look, Scott, I'm really excited to play this next track. What can you tell us about Solid Rock?
Mate, Solid Rock, I'm so psyched about this because I've been singing it for years live, and so this album that I'm about to release, I've actually recorded in the US. It's the first of my four albums that I've recorded overseas. And so we gave the producer our little, you know, version of it, or my version of it, and he hadn't even heard Shane Howard's original Galena version. And so from that, we kind of jammed it out in a room and we came up with this new rockin' version. And once it was recorded and in the can, all the band tracks, I kind of had this idea of it would be amazing to have the guy who wrote it sing it with me as a duet. So I got the courage up and I rang him and I said, look, mate, you can say no. But unbelievably, Shane Howard was very kind and generous, and he said yes, and he came in and tracked it. And so I got to record with one of my idols.
That's amazing.
Flipping amazing, yeah.
Well, here to you, Generation Next, enjoy 94.9. Here is Scott Darlow's Solid Rock. Text him what you think, 0427 569 949. Thank you so much, Scott.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
No problems. You're listening to Joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It's 7:30. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're joined tonight by Dill and Caitlin. Caitlin, what's going on, my sweets?
Well, I was just Googling your fabulous upcoming show, Queer Young Thing, and Damian Stevens has got online and he's updated all the information that you need to know about the show. Damian Stevens also does the Queer Roundup for Gazman on Tuesday, Gazman's Great Value Radio Show. I do live crossings with Damian and he's amazing and he's so good, even with this online. Tell me, you are the anchor of the show, Dill. Let's talk a little bit about what is coming up with Queer Young Thing.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. You know how, like, when you've got something planned ahead and ahead and ahead, and then like those dates just kind of become like the ever. It's just like this dot on the horizon. Well, I got this like really startling email today, and they're like, shooting starts this Saturday. And I was like, oh my God, okay.
No going out Friday night for
you. No going out
Friday.
You need
to be fresh-faced and fabulous. Yeah,
absolutely, 110% on that. So we'll be covering a wide range of topics for Queer Young Thing, and just a bit of a backstory on the show. It is a series all for GLBTI youth, which is pretty much what we do here at Gen Next. So it was a really good natural progression, really.
But hold on, I'm having a look here. You've got episodes 3 and 4, and then you've got 5 and 6. How long will the season, how many episodes in the season?
There's 13 episodes in the season, and we will be shooting, like, some of them will be shooting, like, multiple episodes in one day, which is going to be really
That's
awesome.
That's going to be so, like, full on, but amazing nonetheless.
Amazing.
What topics, what stuff in relation to the GLBTI?
We'll be talking about religion, like reconciling faith with sexuality, because that is a big factor for some young GLBTI people you look at the context what surrounds I guess homosexuality in the Bible, especially the not so much the New Testament the Old Testament. I mean,
but even Leviticus. Away from Christianity, well, homosexuality in the Muslim,
Quran, absolutely. Right. So trying to find that medium between am I okay and will my faith accept me? That's a really, really, really hard bridge to cross for some people. So we'll be talking to some elders in religion, some religious bodies, to see what they have to say and what questions that some of the young people have.
Yeah.
The cool thing about this series is that it's actually driven by the young people, by the GLBTI youth. Now, I'm there to like kind of anchor everything and make sure it goes according to plan, but the young'uns will be actually asking the elders and they'll be leading the questions,
and
which is cool.
And the young ones, I mean, you've all come up with the content, you've all generated ideas, and obviously the discussion comes from that.
Well, Andy from Bent TV, he has been like the power horse behind this. He
research
has, yeah, and getting the content all together. He's been an absolute gun, so I'm really glad that he's a producer.
And is he a young producer, just to kind of like
he's a, well, I guess youngish producer.
You can't have him too young. You can't have him too young. Besides religion, Dil, what else are we, will you be covering?
Social media and bullying, because once we go online,
which is huge after our discussion about suicide last week.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's like such an important, like, you know, I sound really American, but there really is. That's such an important thing to highlight and discuss.
Yep. And we'll be talking about transitioning as well, which is a big factor for our trans and genderqueer.
The transition between your identity as you are and the identity that you see yourself as, such as male to female, male or female to male.
Yeah, that's right. And becoming, I guess, not sticking to binary gender norms as well, which is one thing that, especially for the genderqueer, because it's such a broad minefield
spectrum
to navigate.
Of people, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely. And also living out in the country.
Regional, yeah. Mm. Remember how we came up with that? We talked about the gay app on the iPhone. It's like regional.
Oh, yeah, Query.
Yeah, Query. And it's in regional Victoria. It's a regional app for gay people. And I said how, you know, like it can bring the gays in the bush together.
Yeah.
you can get a beat happening in the bush.
Exactly.
So will you guys be talking about, has that kicked off?
Well, I haven't really heard much from the team over at Zark out in Ballarat, but you know, I can find out some more. I think they're launching it right now with that, just touching on the Query app. They're going through and just like trialing it out, working out the bugs before they can like
really
nationally
launch it.
Yeah.
Which is of course the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
That's the smart thing. So we've got religion, you've got the social media, such as, you know, cyberbullying and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Have you got any kind of, look, I'm just coming from a kinky angle. Will it be covering some fun, lighthearted stuff as well?
We definitely play love and sex and sexual health.
In the queer community.
I remember I did a vox pop for during the Shag Road Roadshow.
Shag Road
and that was after I had been out for the weekend with Chance Waters and Mind Over Matter, part of their national tour. And there were just some questions. I'm pretty sure I just looked like this crazy homeless man, because I was just like, after a weekend of being with some rappers, not amazing. But yeah, we'll be definitely talking about love and sex, drugs and alcohol, and living healthy as well. So we'll be talking, taking a lighthearted note, because I think one thing that affects us in the GLBTI community is there's, aside from porn, there's no real
advice. Which, let's face it, it can affect anyone in any community.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But how I learned out about gay sex was from porn. And like that was because there was no in school.
Was that just sort of, obviously they don't recognize same sex education, like heterosexual education.
Yeah.
So was that kind of a tool for you to educate yourself on engaging in sexual?
I think it was more of a stress relief more than anything else.
Love the honesty. I'm trying to be, keep it clean. It is Monday night. But you know what though? I can't blame you. So
So I'm really hoping that the love and sex and sexual health it will hopefully be used as some kind of tool so we can actually help to explain same-sex sex ed, because it's something that just really needs to be taught. I mean, we've gotten to the point now where our government is acknowledging same-sex relationships in our schools. They've got programs to make it encompassing and welcoming for GLBTI students. But what about, like, how we get down to the nitty-gritties?
Yeah, talk about the other side, rather than just accepting, okay, so that's your preference of sexuality or that's what you identify with sexually. How about, okay, well, let's take it a step further. I want to engage engaged sexually with another man who I love or a woman who I love, and I'm a woman. So how do I go about doing that in a safe but fun way?
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
Young kids need to know that it's okay. You can have fun with it, but these are the A, B, and C of being safe.
Yeah.
Queer.
And I think it's something that Vic definitely talks about a lot, and that's are we tolerated or are we accepted? Because there's a fine difference between being tolerated and being accepted.
Well, if you can make the show as kinky and fun as possible, queers and heteros will be tuning in, let me tell you.
Oh, I hope so. I hope I can do Dean Beck proud. Just a quick...
God bless him. I love him. If he was straight, oh, God, so go there. Well, hope he's not listening.
Oh, maybe he is. Dean, text in right now. Tell us if you feel the same about Caitlin.
Oh, my God.
0427 569 949.
Okay, we talked about regrets before. That was totes embarrassing.
We got actually touching on our talk about regrets. We got someone texting in saying, and I think this might be like your opinion on regret. With the utmost respect to Penny Wong, I think she sold out her soul despite her new appointment in the Senate. She sold out the sisterhood.
Thank you, Texter. And we've also noticed that you've had another text in about the song we just played from the interview we did with Scott Darlow. And you said, nice renewal to the song. The doorman at the Western in Melbourne is the drummer from the original band. Fact.
How awesome is that? Thank you so much for that. We're always up for learning new facts here at Generation Next. And speaking of which, we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
It's 17 minutes to 8. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. That last track we played was Best Shot, which by Itch, which is the Bar 9 remix. That is on my playlist, and I have been repeating that mofo all weekend.
I like that. I said to Dill, what is this? What is this track? I don't normally ask, but I really liked it. And then he came out with this British MC. He's obsessed with them.
I just really like the way they sound, the way they talk in it. Just quickly, I'd just like to mention, we were just talking before that amazing track about Queer Young Thing, which is an upcoming program on Bent TV. Now, Queer Young Thing, we are actually right now looking for GLBTI young people to be a part of our talks and be a part of the show. So if you'd like to be a part of this 13-week series, feel free to send us an email on generationnext@joy.org.au, because we want to get you in on the show. And we'd like to have you and just give your opinion, because, hey, what you're doing will actually be helping, you know, your community, our community.
And Dill, speaking of opinions, we've had someone wonderful texting, great interview with Scott Darlow. I've lived in Shepparton all of my 28 years and had no idea of the importance or the meaning behind Rumbalara. I think that's how you say it. Anyway, football and netball club. The more I learn about the Aboriginal community, the more I realise it has a lot of similarities with our own struggle and equality. That's a beautiful thing to say, Kieran. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Mm. And thank you to everyone who has texted in tonight. We really do love our texts here on Gen Next. Yeah.
Yeah. What we also love is up and coming. We do. And what we also love is up and coming talent. And Warner Music is opening national auditions for those that are talented, and those like Bruno Mars, Ed Sheeran, Kimbra, Michael Bublé and Kylie. They're all with the label Warner. They're now opening auditions all around the state. Dill, do you want to talk a little bit about this?
Yes, it's pretty cool. Sure. Did I just play footsies with you?
Yeah, I think I just felt something on my foot.
I was like, what is that? Okay, so artists are required to be 12 years or older, and we need to prepare one song, an original, or it could be a cover that they can perform on the day, either a cappella or with an acoustic backing. I think this is really awesome. So for Melbourne, that's going to be on Wednesday the 10th of July at 10 a.m. down at Melbourne Town Hall. And for more info, you can contact go onto warnermusic.com.au, and then you can find out
read a bit more about. You know what I think's really cool about this? It takes out the whole Australian Idol thing of this, like in The Voice. It takes the cameras away.
Yeah.
So kids that are genuinely talented that might, you know, have that sort of stage fright or that really self-conscious, this is such a wonderful way for them to kind of warm up into the industry.
Absolutely. And I'm so sorry, it's not that link I just told you. Go to rumblepop.com for more info about Warner Music's National Open Talent Auditions, which is a great program. If you just think, you could be the next, like, Silverchair.
Dill, can I share a little secret with you?
Yeah.
This is not a regret I have, but this is something I could have said before. Okay, one of my ex-boyfriends came third in Australian Idol and now is on Glee. Can you guess who that may be?
Oh, my goodness.
Dean Geyer.
And he is crazy hot.
Yeah.
Like, crazy hot. Oh, my God. Caitlin.
I know. Joy, can you believe
what
that?
If you don't mind me asking, what happened? If he was mine, I really hope my boyfriend's not listening. I would have my claws sunk into him. I'd be like, no, you are mine. Go all King Kong beating my chest.
Jill, don't make it any more harder for me. This is really painful. He's now in the arms of Kate Hudson that I last saw on Glee on TV. But, well, he's an amazing karate kid. His dad's like a very well-known sensei. So when he heard that there was another guy that was sort of hitting on me, he threatened to, you know, pull a karate chop on him. So I said, you know what? If you're going to be violent, then that's it. Like, no to violence. We're over. Biggest regret ever. I was 14 and very, very silly. But yeah, Dean, you've really gone a long way and I'm proud of you from the Joy Studios. But for the other kids that are talented and like Dean was back in the day, do head down to Melbourne Town Hall Wednesday, the 10th of July at 10 a.m. and start your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Do it, kids. Do it, kids. It's time for Gay School.
There's a bear in there and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's Gay School.
Such an innocent song. Anyway, okay, so the first article we're going to attack, new research is underway that documents the experiences of people who have undergone female to male transgender transition. So this has been conducted by UNE, which is the University of New England, and it's going to cover issues with sexuality, the transition process, physical and the mental health of the person, access to support services, and of course, everyday obstacles that they're going to face in life, like employment, discrimination, and substance abuse.
Well, I think that this is a really, really important study. I think so too.
It's so valuable because that's an area of the community that's really only in the last couple of years, from my knowledge being here at Joy, is starting to really become accepted as the GLBTI.
Yeah, absolutely. And not just being noted as just a T in our alphabet soup, but actually like an integral part and a voice that needs to be heard and recognized.
And they're no longer freaks anymore. This is actually like a diagnosed thing where these, you know, like this is someone who identifies genuinely.
Yeah, and it's no longer, and it's the same with, like, I guess the gay movements. I think the trans movement and the trans, like, our understanding of trans health and trans, what it is to be part of the trans or genderqueer umbrella. I mean, it's exactly what being gay was like 40 years ago.
Exactly.
And I just think that our community really needs to do more as well to support our trans friends. Like, we've got some of the most marvelous people that I've met have been trans. Well,
I think
they're
incredibly courageous and brave as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're genuinely beautiful people because they accept you for who you are rather than, they don't have like I guess like any nastiness to them. At least the people that I've met.
The ones that, yeah, you've, because it's funny, before we came on air, you were on Facebook and I asked about someone and you said that they were actually a transgender.
Yeah.
And it was really enlightening because I would never have recognized it. Just looking at their profile, I wouldn't have picked it. So you can't always tell, you can't always judge books by their cover. But the spectrum of transgender is so wide. And in the article, they talk about the blending of the opposite sex. So this, you know, not everyone wants to undergo reassignment surgery. Not everybody needs hormone replacement. Some opt for only partial surgery.
Yeah.
However, though, it's unfortunate in Australia, you don't get covered or recognised by Medicare if you do want to have types of surgery that would help that transition process, such as, I think, like even breast implants, if it's based on that.
Yep. And gender reassignment surgery.
Yeah, you
as
don't
well.
Actually medically get. And I think that's really sad because I think that they go through every other rigorous testing, such as being mentally, psychologically approved by the right practitioners. And yet, you know, enduring all of that, they don't get then recognised with the same benefits.
And some of the most disconcerting things for trans people are when they, you know, when they're naked and they are with themselves and they their gender is not how they are on the inside. And that can be a real big factor for mental health. So the gender reassignment surgery
really finishes the process. It really completes the person, because you can't do the internal and psychological work without feeling like you match who you feel you are, which would be on the exterior presenting as a man or a woman.
Absolutely. And then, but then there are some people who love and they like to celebrate that not being in a binary gender role. I'd just like to touch on LGBT homeless in San Francisco. And this is something that interested me. A new US study has found that 29% of San Francisco's homeless population identified as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, which is nearly twice the city's overall estimated 15.4%. However, in Australia, multiple Australian studies have suggested that LGBTI young people are overrepresented in Australia's homeless population, which I think is really quite interesting.
So would that basically be like almost double? That's almost double. So the amount of homeless people that there are who identify as gay or lesbian and so forth, there's like that's a huge portion. That's nearly all, like that's
nearly a third.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, it is a third. 29. Oh no, nearly a third. Nearly a third. I work in finance and I can't do math.
That's a really kind of sad statistic. I wonder, have they looked further into what support services or what or why that is? Is it more than just their sexual orientation, the fact they're getting kicked out of home or they can't get jobs? Or
the US results have prompted, the results have prompted US experts to call for more specialist services to deal with LGBTI homelessness, saying that homophobic and transphobic families kicking young people out of home contributes to high rates of homeless LGBTI youth.
That's, in a place like America, there are 52 states and they're a lot more ahead than we are in Australia for gay rights, and gay marriage is just an example legally what they're recognising before we are. But this attitude, San Francisco is the gay capital of America. How can there be this sort of high ratio of transphobic and homophobic families?
Yeah, it's actually, like, when you think of San Fran, I just think of it
it's
like
a gay capital.
Yeah,
that's,
I think of
like
it
like Harvey Milk, the film Milk. That's where that was originally all from. That's true. It's a true story. And it's just statistically, they are known to be out and proud.
Absolutely. I mean, they pave the way for a lot of...
sad
I always
step.
Think of, like, San Fran as, like, the gay capital of the world, really. I mean, I haven't really been to San Fran. But whenever I think of San Francisco, I mean, it's just like, hey, yeah, you know, that is a rainbow...
Definitely. That's right on the map.
Now, Vic, you were talking to me a little bit earlier on about Tasmania and how they've opened up an adoption process for same-sex couples.
P.S. You just call me Vic. That shows just how much...
Oh, my God, did I really?
That just shows how much you're missing her. Don't worry, don't worry.
Do you know what? I was playing... When I was playing gay school, I actually was like... I miss Vic. I really do. I'm so sorry, babe. Caitlin was telling me about Tasmania's Senate. And how
no, that's okay. I think because we're now just so much in the groove with each other, I think it's like being here with Vic. That's it. I mean, I must be like channeling her.
All right, when she gets back, we've all got to go out for dinner.
We will. And she can tell us about her Greek escapades. That's right. And Tasmania is now, as the Relationship Act in Tasmania, if you're a same-sex couple and you've been together for more than 3 years, you can now adopt a child like a straight couple can. That's very cool. I think that's like it, and it's really a good sign, because in Tasmania they were the last state to decriminalize homosexuality, so they're the first to make these significant moves towards marriage equality, with obviously recognizing same-sex people to be parents, but they were the last to decriminalize.
Do you know what, Tassie just really interests me, especially Tassie, like Tasmanian politics, because they bring out some really, really interesting policies, and they bring out some really bizarre policies. And
they're
sort
of a mixed mutt. They're a mixed breed. No, but it's true, because, you know, sort of like the old saying of like you can marry a cousin in Tasmania, you can kind of, you know, cousins can have kids. No, that's a terrible outdated thing to say. My housemate, I'm sure, is originally from Tasmania, and he's not a cousin, a product of cousins. But I agree with you. They come out with some very very forward acts, and then they can be very backward in some
ways. They most certainly do. Hey, we just got one last text in. Sarah from Noble Park, Melbourne, Australia. Hello, Joy. Love this show, and thank you so much. It is such a hard life being a...
Transgender.
Transgender.
Sarah, thank you so much for your text from Noble Park. That was it's great to hear from a transgender. We want more to text into the show.
And if you're a transgender youth or any part of the GLBTI youth, make sure that you hit us up to come on Queer Young Thing, which is a new up-and-coming program on Bent TV. So send us an email, generationnext@joy.org.au, and we'll get back and we'll hit you up to see if you want to come on. We're so out of time, by the way, guys. So
hold on. Before we leave, we have
another one. USA has 50 states, not 52. I don't think you're... Okay, maybe. I don't know. 52
we'll Google
states.
That after the show and we'll see who's right.
And we've got another text in. Great show tonight. You guys rock. Thank you. No, you rock. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.